Mark chapter number 6. I do want to reiterate everything that they said. I want to thank Pastor for allowing us to go, having the vision to be able to go. I'd like to thank our church family. What they said about the underwriting the cost. Of course, they paid. Each young person paid, but I mean, we had probably $3,800 in just fuel. Just get out there and back. I mean, that's the nature of it, you know. And so I want to thank our church family, but more importantly, the prayers. Bus ran well. You know, it just little things that. And I talked one day about seeing God every day in our devotions. You know, when you're on a team, you don't just go and see a game once a month. When you're on the team, you live it every day. And I talked to him about, you know, hey, what do you see God do for you every day of your life? Because God does something for you. Sometimes we just don't see it. But there was just little things, you know, air conditioner quit on the bus. Well, you know, I know. A lot of you went on a lot of youth trips without air conditioning and cry me a river. But it's really nice. And when it's 108 out and you're at the end of a youth trip and everybody's kind of, you're done, you're ready to go home, everyone's a little short-tempered, and the air conditioner quits, it can be a rough ride home. But just the way the Lord, I'd like to take credit for it, but I really don't. I tried to look intelligent, but that's about it. But Chad, can you explain it? Not really, except for some prayers, okay? And so just little things. I want to thank the young people for their spirit, their flexibility. One thing about the Navajo reservation is very little is planned. And that's part of it. It's a different mindset, different way of thinking. They don't plan things like we do. You know, we want a schedule that we all adhere to. It was a very fluid thing. We did end up helping four different ministries on our trip, which I don't think we've ever done that before. But we was able to help them. 14 young people saved. Just safety. Food on the reservation. We basically got to the place that because everything is still locked down, and what they're saying is not an exaggeration, it's very much locked down still. And trying to feed 30 people, 28 people, when something's locked down is rather difficult. So we would go to Walmart every morning and take food in with us and cook while we were on the reservation. And it just, Brother Jeff helped us with that and other people. And I want to thank him and his wife and my wife, Mrs. Abel. Thank you so much for everything. Mark chapter number six. And I'll try to hurry tonight. I want to give you something that is kind of from the trip. But it's an application to all of us. So Mark chapter number six, we're going to look at verse number 30. And you can stay seated. We're going to read several verses here. The Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught." So these are when the disciples came back from Jesus sending them out. "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place." And that's where we just came from. It was a desert place. "By ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him, and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks, by 100 and by 50s. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night. Lord, my heart is full. Lord, it's good to hear the young people. Lord, but these aren't the only young people that have stood behind this pulpit and have given testimonies. There's been many, many before it. I've stood here before. And Lord, there's been a lot that no longer could stand here or would stand here. Lord, I pray that the young people would take what was impressed upon their heart during this trip, that they would take it with them through their life. And God, I pray that you just bless them. Thank you for each one of them. God, I thank you for the parents. God, anybody that compliments me on our young people, I tell you, they'll tell them they have good parents. And Lord, trips like this wouldn't be possible without parents that train their young people right. And Lord, thank you for them. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our church family. God, I pray that you help us tonight as we just look at this simple thought. And Lord, help it just maybe to be a final note on this, maybe this trip, this evening, this recounting of what had to happen. And God, I pray that you just bless us. Give me the words to say. Lord, help me to only say what I ought to. And just help the people tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So many times in my life, if you've ever, a lot of you have worked, especially men, a lot of you men have worked with me. And I can be very goal-oriented at times. Sometimes I really don't care, but I can be very goal-oriented sometimes. And Pastor said something not too long ago, and it's really stuck with me. But he was talking about people, and he was talking about projects, and it really stuck to me because so many times in my life, me personally, I get so involved in the project that I forget about the people in the project. And my wife says it's like work mode, you know. I'll be doing something, and honestly, this was a blessing. We went to we were at Old Paths Baptist Church. Some of the guys laid some flooring for Brother Nez in his place that they're staying there. They laid some flooring. 2 different nights, we went. One night we went to Newcomb when they had the service, and we were able to frame 2. Four walls, for a Sunday school room. So he was able to help him with some duct work and for his HVAC system. I enjoy that stuff. That's kind of my alley. I don't mind doing the Bible school. And the Bible school is an eternal thing, but it's also nice being able to go and at the end of the day, you've accomplished something with your hands. That's just me. One night we took everybody over to Brother Haynes, where Pastor's preaching tonight. And they had just built a new building. Bethel had gone down and helped them build a new building, but it wasn't finished. I mean, they had 4 days left, and plumbing wasn't hooked up. A lot of stuff wasn't done. And so we went over 2 different nights, and we helped them just try to get some stuff wrapped up so that they were ready for campers this week. But what happens with me so many times is I need to get this pipe hooked to this spot. And I forget that there's somebody standing there watching me. And so many times it's as in life, we become goal-oriented. We become, oh, we got to get this job done. I've got to teach this Sunday school lesson. I have to run this bus route. And we forget about the people that are there with us. And I thought about this story when I was thinking about this. The project isn't about what was done at the project. You know, this youth trip, I don't want this to sound wrong, because it is valuable that there's Navajo young people that got saved, and it is valuable that, you know, we built a wall someplace. But the truth of the matter is, 2 years from now, I probably won't know any of those Navajo kids' names. Truth of the matter is, nobody really cares who built that wall. It's all going to get covered up. The truth of the matter is, nobody cares. You know, all you're going to do on a floor is walk on it. Nobody thinks about that. But what will matter, yes, those Navajo kids will matter, because a soul is a soul. But as me personally, these kids, that's who I invested in. Yeah, we used a trip to get to that end result. But it's not about going to see Dodge City. All right, it's not about climbing Window Rock. It's the journey up Window Rock. Does that make sense? I think the bus ride, somebody asked me, why don't you fly? Well, crunch the numbers on taking 28 people on an airplane. One, I know we spent a lot of money on fuel, but I did. I crunched the numbers because I was looking both ways. We were probably a third of the price by driving out. But you know, more important than that, that bus ride, 20 hours, 20 plus. We figured each day we were out there, we were probably on a bus for 3 hours. All right? But I was only at the church for probably 4 every day. I was on a bus for 12 hours, at least the days we were actually traveling. You know, guys, when we went to the camp, we had an extra 2 hours together. Okay? It's not about, I think sometimes we're going to get to the end of life and realize it wasn't about the wall. Excuse me. It wasn't about the wall we built. It was about the relationship we built while we were building the wall. And so many times in my life, I just run past that. Jesus said here in Mark chapter 6, if you look at that, Mark chapter number 6, verse number 52, Bible says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves." So these disciples had just seen Jesus accomplish something. Now, don't get me wrong. Did Jesus know all those people that he fed? Yeah, I mean, it's Jesus. It's God. He knows them. He knows that the number of hairs on their head. He knows them. But who was he really feeding? Who was he really feeding those people for? I think as much as anything, he was feeding them for the disciples' sake. Because the disciples needed to see something for a trial that was just about to come. The sad thing is the disciples didn't see what Jesus was trying to show them. Why? Because they were busy passing out food. They were busy gathering up the baskets of food. When Jesus was actually trying to show them that, hey, I can be everything. I can be that calming in the middle of the storm. I can be that food when you need food. But the Bible says that they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Go over to Mark chapter 8. It should be over just a page here. Mark chapter 8, look at verse number 17. And when Jesus knew it, they're asking about bread here again. Bob says, "Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do ye not remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" They say unto him, 12. "And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up?" And they said, 7. And he said unto them, "How is it that ye do not understand?" Listen, folks, it's not, sometimes it's well, man, I just got to make it through junior church. Man, I just got to make it through my Sunday school class today. And I've been there. And yeah, it is about the kids. But what about that worker that's sitting over there in the corner? Pastor, when I became a bus captain down in Kentucky, pastor told me, he said, "Chad, you need to invest in your workers more than you invest in your kids." Think about that. You need to invest in your workers more than you invest in your kids. I'm a bus captain. My responsibility is what? In all honesty, my responsibility is the workers. Because if I can get the workers to where I want them, the kids will naturally go. And the other thing is, okay, a worker is already 95% of the way there. And a child, don't get me wrong, I mean, everybody's worth something, but a child is just starting. Wouldn't you invest in those that you've already got closest to you the most? Jesus did. Jesus did. Why did he do so many things? Was it to help those people? I think as much as anything, it was a discipleship. It was a, "Come here, disciples, let me show you something here." And so many times in my life, and this is maybe just a, maybe this message is a personal testimony, but so many times in my life, I just run across the relationships that God has put there with me in order just to get a job done. I was watching, and I'm just going to pull one young man out. I was watching Luke. We went and did some very much hands-on things. And anybody, Jeffrey, could say the same thing about Nathaniel. Luke's helped me for the past, 2 years, something like that. And you know what? As when I get a young man to start helping me, the truth of the matter is anybody in here that's had young people help them could testify the fact that, quite honestly, it's just easier to do by yourself a lot of times. I can do it faster. I can do it better. I won't have to fix mistakes. The first year of anybody helping me, I lose money guaranteed. Depending on their age, could be second and third year, I'm losing money. Because I can do it faster and I can do it quicker and I can do a better job at it. But hang on, is that why we're doing this? Or is it to say, "Here, let me show you how to do this"? You know what? Because at the camp, you know the difference is? Now I can say, "Hey, can you take care of this for me? I need this faucet plumbed for the shower." Okay. Okay. And he does it. I go back and make sure it's tight, but it's done. But if we just run past those beginning relationship things and say, "Well, it's just, I just got to get this job done," where's the next generation going to come from? Where's that next generation going to come from? And so many times we got to look at where God has put you, your marriage, your family, your job, your ministry. That's where God has put you. And look around and say, "Well, okay, this is where I am. Who has God given to me to influence?" And don't be so job-oriented. I remember, you know, Charles English. You know what he would do when I was a young, your guys' age? Charles English would sit down and he would actually show me how to do something. He would take the time. Could he do it? Could he wire it faster? Yeah. He could wire something faster in his sleep than I could, you know, probably today. But you know what? He took the time to show me something. And you pass that on to the next generation. I understand we all have things that we must do, but I'm afraid that many times it's not about what is being done. It is about what is being taught while we are doing it. It's not about what's being done. It's about what's being taught while I'm doing it. A teen trip is not about what we accomplish. It's about who we touch. Jesus helped everyone that wanted help, but who did he really help? I think it was the disciples. Jesus probably could have done more without the disciples in some ways than he could have in his earthly ministry than he did with the disciples, because he always had to drag them along. But who would continue it after he was gone? Those 12? My main responsibility is who God has given me. Yes, I want to invest in a lot of different people, but I think my main responsibility is to who God has allowed me to be with. My kids, okay? What's it worth if you save, you know, however many that are halfway grateful, but you lose your kids? My kids is who God's given me. That's my priority. I thank the teens over and over again. You know, we kind of, 10 days is a long time for anybody to babysit kids, grandparents included. And quite honestly, they're just getting to the age that they're very high energy. And so we took our kids with us. I had mixed feelings about that. Because the truth of the matter is, I can't give 100% to either group. I have to give partial to my kids because I'm dad. But I also have to give partial to the teens. But they did a great job. But you know what? My kids. I got to invest in my kids. David invested in the men that God gave to him. They came to him, and you know what he did? I think he poured his life into them. He poured his life into them. People that are closest to you, why shouldn't we invest the most in them? It's not all, young men, I want you to think about something. It's not always about the job. I just want you to leave this with you. It's not always about the job that we're doing. Why did Brother Chad grab a pick and dig a ditch? I got down and dug a ditch with the rest of them. It wasn't the fact that there wasn't other things that I could go do. It was the fact that they needed to see me dig a ditch alongside them. I could go dig a ditch. But sometimes it's that time that you spend, it's them saying, hey, Brother Chad got down here and dug it too. Brother Chad swung a pick at bricks. That's a side note. Jesus did something at the Last Supper. He took a towel and a basin of water, and he said, hey, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes. And he carried a towel with him. Was it about cleaning their feet? It had nothing to do with cleaning their feet. It was about what he's trying to teach them. And so many times in life, it's not about what's best for me. It's about passing it on to the next generation. You know, people, this teen trip wasn't about, okay, yeah, it is about helping Brother Nez, but they did a Bible school last year without us. Somebody's going to build a wall someplace. But what did you learn this trip? What did you see this trip? And then I'm not going to wash anybody's feet. If Jesus would have said that, how would he have taught effectively the principle of servitude? Jesus had to do it before they were willing to do it. And honestly, I've always said this to anybody that's ever helped me. I've always said this. You guys know this. I've never asked you guys to do something I wasn't willing to do myself. And if we're asking somebody to do something, if I'm asking the teen to get up and lead something, they need to know that Brother Chad's going to help them if they need help. They need to know that, hey, I'll get down in a ditch and pick out a ditch too. I'm not above that. I'll go scrub a toilet. Usually I get called to plumb the toilet, not scrub the toilet, but I'm okay with that. Listen, it's not about me. It's not about me and the things, my goals, but we got to get this done. What about stopping and saying, hey, come here, let me show you something. Let me show you this little trick. You know how many times I've had guys show? My dad, you know what my dad did? Could he weld better than me? Absolutely. But you know what he did? He said, here, I need you to weld this. Why? Because he couldn't do it? No, because he knew I needed to learn how to do it. And so many times, I guess my thing tonight is, don't be so goal-oriented. Let's not be so goal-oriented. I got to get to this next place. You know, when you walk into an IHOP at 9:30, and there's a look of sheer panic on the faces of everyone in there, because I just brought 28 teenagers and little kids into an IHOP at 9:30, and they're like, this half the restaurant's closed, and the other half is full. And we're looking around like, no, it's not. And you're scrambling to find something to eat for 28 people at 10 o'clock at night when everything's closed. Yeah, I can be so goal-oriented that I get frustrated and get upset. Or you know what? You build a memory. You remember that time when all five of our hotel rooms got canceled? And I found out when I walked in, we canceled all your hotel rooms. Oh, really? Thank you. Friday night on I-70, try to find a hotel room Friday night on I-70. Six of them. Together. That's hard to do. You know what the kids did? Slept on the bus. We got them to a motel at 2 o'clock in the morning, something like that. But you know what? They won't forget about it. You know, the negative, you learn more from a negative situation than you'll ever learn from a positive one. They won't remember the motel room that they got. They'll just remember the ones they missed. It's true. Guys, you won't remember, you know, a job where everything went right. You'll remember every detail of a job that was a disaster. But you know what? It's part of it's just, hey, I'm gonna take my time and I'm gonna teach something through my life. Because listen, young people, if you miss everything else, if you forget everything else, you need to remember what God's did in your heart. And you need to take that with you from here on out. I know Nathaniel was. 3 years ago, we knelt on top of Window Rock and we prayed. And I had every young person pick up a rock and take with them. I know Nathaniel was there. And we were back on that rock. Why? Because he's just taken things and he's listened and he's received them. And he just said, I don't know what God has for me. But until God changes things, I'm right here. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve where I can serve. I'm just going to keep doing what I know what to do until God changes that. He was a huge asset on this trip. His is the one that came to my mind. You know, people, you've made some commitments, maybe not commitments, but you saw some things. Don't get so goal-oriented, well, I'm going to go do this with my life. And you leave everything else behind you, and you don't bring anybody with you. Because you only have one life to live, and if you live it for yourself, it all dies with you. And that's good for all of us. If everything I do is for myself and to make me more money or to have nicer things, what about the 18 young people I took with me? They won't learn anything. So let's invest in the next generation. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it. Yeah, it's going to take more time than it would if you just did it yourself. But it's worth it. You'll have another young man that comes up behind you and says, hey, I got this. Every time we got out of the bus, ABS light comes on. I give up, like, getting frustrated. you know, brake pressure light, ABS, traction control, all the lights come on at the same time and the buzzer goes off. That's typically not a good thing on a bus on I-70. But you know what? You know what, dads? I just want to give you kudos. Your boys got out of the bus and I slide under the bus. The semi drivers probably thought it was really weird. You know, they're driving by and there's like five pairs of legs all sticking out from under this bus. But they slid under. What can we do? I have no idea. I'm just looking, you know. Wiggle some wires here, wiggle some wires there. All right, we're good to go. Why did we do it? It's for them, the next generation. You pass it on. Young people, pass it on. You're graduating. You graduated. You graduated. He says he graduated. You know what? You just pass it on. Just don't ever forget that Jesus took time to be a servant. And he took time to show somebody else how to do something. Why? Because he needed to do it? No, it was Jesus. He did it because he wanted his disciples to learn something. He gave the bread and the fishes. Why? Because he knew a storm was coming. And he knew those disciples needed that. Now, did they catch it? Unfortunately, no. But he knew they needed it. So let's always be passing it on. Is it about the people or the projects? Don't let it be about the projects all the time. Don't forget the people along the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you do. Lord, we went a little over tonight. God, I'm afraid so many times, God, I'm really bad about not investing when I should. And God, help me to slow down. Help me to slow down in my bus route. Help me to slow down with my family. Lord, there's so many things to do. And sometimes just going out and playing kickball. And investing that time in my kids. And Lord, I pray that you just help us slow down and take time for what you took time for. Help us to learn to be a servant. Help these young people, Lord, to just keep passing it on to the next generation. Lord, I love seeing our older teens in the youth group just reach down to the 7th and 8th graders and help them and to my kids and help them. And thank you so much that they're learning. Thank you so much that you've given them a tender heart for that. God, I pray that you just bless us, help us tonight. Help Pastor there this week as he preaches, Father. Just give him safety as he travels back. And thank you so much for him and the vision. Help Mrs. Ross also. She's such a blessing to our church here and the ministry. Just be with him. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.